Hey guys, this is Britt, host of the Lawn Care Leaders Podcast. Beautiful winter day out here in Kansas City. Hope you guys had a good holiday. This episode we're going to bring you today is a mashup of some of our favorite segments from 2018. We started this podcast midsummer, so I think it was about July of 2018, and our goal was just to bring lawn care business owners value. Value through our experiences, our ups and downs, and then value through leaders in both the industry and business and finance as well. So hope you guys enjoy this. I know I have thoroughly enjoyed getting to know a lot of you guys on Instagram, just at Lawn Care Leaders or at Green Again Lawn. Getting to be friends with a lot of you guys, get some feedback. So that's been enjoyable, and I really, really do. I enjoy these interviews. I enjoy creating, making content, and adding value to you guys out there. That's what's most important to me. So thanks for allowing me to do this. As always, really, really appreciate the feedback. If you haven't subscribed or shared this with somebody that you're friends with in the industry or that you chat with on social media, it would mean the world to me if you would do that. So thanks again, guys. Listen in. We'll be back with you soon. Happy New Year, Lawn Care Leaders. Hey, have you checked out Jobber yet? As we think about the new year, we all want to be better and grow our companies. We may even be comparing to our competition up the street. Let's call our competition Tommy the Tool Man. You don't need Tommy's new truck or Tommy's new mower to win. What you need is to be more efficient, more professional, and to provide better customer service. We chose Jobber for those reasons. Jobber is a software that helps home service businesses quote, schedule, invoice, and get paid faster.
Just went crazy, and I just went from somebody having a dream to why not check this out, got nothing to lose, and ended up interviewing about 20 different business bankers, and ended up going with a company out of St. Louis that really offered me the best potential. I didn't think they could get there, but I was like, hey, you know, it's a very low-cost probe. Let's go and let's see what you guys can do. And, you know, I'm not going to pay you along the way, but if you sell it, you'll make out, I'll make out.
Yeah.
And they were, so once I committed to them that year, they sold my business within 6 months to the day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and sold that in October of 2015.
Okay. And so this all sounds quick, but so from getting into the trucking industry to selling Team Driveway was...
Well, like any business, right, it's an overnight success. It just happens to take 20 years to do it. So from the time I started rolling in 1995, sold in 2015, so almost exactly 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. And it's a flash, and any of us in business know that. It goes by fast. Yeah. But if you stick it out through the good times and the bad, make some good decisions, correct your mistakes,
we can it sounds like you brought good people on. I mean, how did you do that, especially... Yeah. Right at the beginning, because it sounds easy, and especially in the green industry, it's a little different story.
Sure. I think in any industry, right? So I think the main thing is you want to hire well. Yeah. Like they say, you hire slowly, you fire quickly, right? So there were several people I had to let go. I had one person quit me ever in that, at least with team, in that 10 years of team, I had one person quit only because she was moving to Colorado.
Okay.
But we created a culture and an environment that was so healthy and fun, even though it's a stressful business, that people wanted and desired to be there.
Okay.
So I think what our main probably secret sauce there was is I always told everybody I hired by personality. Mm-hmm. If I'd like to use a person, I think I can teach you anything, right? We can all learn any skill. But I didn't want to hire a bunch of people with knowledge in trucking with these terrible personalities and try to change them.
Okay.
Because a personality, a person's spots are their spots.
Mm-hmm.
But if they've got a great personality and they're willing to learn, I think you can make someone great.
You can do a lot with that.
That's right.
That's awesome. What are kind of your biggest learning lessons that you're going to carry with?
A bare minimum, and the rest got reinvested back into the business, and I'm pretty confident that's why we've grown as quick as we have.
And that's, I mean, I couldn't agree more. That's what we've done, and I think any good entrepreneur that's going to get over the hump of the 5 year, you know,
yeah.
being the statistic where you don't make it after 5 years. I think that's what it takes.
Sure.
We have a similar story, made $16,000 my first year.
Yeah.
And I think where a lot of companies make the mistake is as their, you know, top line revenue increases, so does their standard of living.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really sow those deep roots before they start to reap the benefits. So that's awesome. That's You obviously had the truck lease, but I mean, it was low entry and you just kind of busted it trying to get some revenue in.
Totally. And the business has been debt free forever. I mean, yeah, I had the lease, but other than that, the business is still debt free. And I've always operated like that. Like some of our competitors are driving around brand new trucks and all this other stuff. And our guys are driving around, you know, 2010 trucks and, and whatever, but they're all paid for.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just, there's a different mindset there.
Yep.
And that's a whole different show, business debt and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, I got started in the business because it was inexpensive. But even at a young age, I recognized, like, I dreaded when service companies came to our house to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I couldn't really pinpoint at the time why, but I knew like there was a big gap in how I could change that experience for people.
Yep.
And how it would actually be enjoyable when my company came out to service people's homes.
Okay.
And so like, that's kind of where that whole thing stemmed from. It's like, okay, like there's not a lot of competition. And I know this is a pain point for people. Like people dread having people come to their house to work on it. So like, how can I make it enjoyable where they want to go tell all their friends when we're done?
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you, I mean, you had already seen the need and you were just kind of trying to develop the system to fill that need.
Totally.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Kind of switch gears here a little bit. So it sounds like you grew rather quickly. Tell me a little bit, and you know, I'll be a little selfish here because this is kind of where I'm at. I'm slowly exiting the field, getting away from being more of a technician into running the business. Talk about some of those pain points, and then also how you started delegating more of the department heads. I know you have technicians, but touch on maybe onboarding your first admin, onboarding your first, I don't know if you guys do finances in-house or if you have your CPA take care of the books, maybe touch on some of those topics.
Yeah, we do have a CPA, but we do all of our like expense sheets and all that kind of stuff in-house. But yeah, man, I mean, here's what I learned was early on, I was nervous that basically nothing was gonna be done as good as I did it. But I was lucky enough to have a couple of business mentors in my life that quickly made me realize that I was right, that nobody is going to do it as good as me, but they don't have to. It's our job as business owners to do our best to create systems and processes inside our business that our employees can follow. That way our customers have a good experience and all that kind of stuff. But no, it's not going to be perfect. And so when people are fearful that, well, what if my employee, you know, what if one of my technicians goes out and shoots a rock through someone's windshield or drops a ladder and breaks a window or whatever, like, I guarantee you, right, that is going to happen. I promise it will. But it's okay. Like, and that's what I had to come to. And so really, once I kind of let go, that was the big key. Like, once I let go and I was confident in the systems that we had in place and I was okay with making mistakes, it just got easy. You know what I mean? And like, employees are 100% the hardest part of having a business or growing a business. Finding good ones, keeping them, all that kind of stuff. But I think a lot of people don't even let themselves get to that point because they're so scared that, well, you know, they're going to ruin my reputation and all this other stuff.
Good business person, the kid. I'm just saying that you can accomplish the same task often with much more affordable equipment. And we really need to get off that that instinctual belief, oh, I just need better equipment and I'll get more things done. No, we need to focus on profit first. Take that money aside. And then your business will automatically tell you what you can afford. You have to work within the confines of that. You have to get innovative. Maybe getting used equipment. Maybe getting into a lending kind of thing. Maybe certain equipment you don't need all the time. Maybe you can rent it or you can get into a sharing consortium with other landscapers. Like there's always ways, but in the traditional sense, when we have that one bank account, money comes in, we're like, oh, I have just enough to get that new piece of equipment. And we blow the money, which we're actually blowing our business. We have to look at it in a much more innovative way by restricting the money flow.
Yep. And it's almost a forced scarcity mentality. You know, those first...
Forced, that's the exact word.
First 2 years, you know, you live very, very lean. Just like, you know, when you first start off in marriage, you live off of so much. 10 years down the road, you're like, how did we survive those first 2 years?
Right, and we were happy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we were happy. I know what our guys are thinking. They're sitting here listening to this. They're like, Mike, that's great. That sounds like a great plan. Here's the problem. I can barely survive right now.
Yeah, I'm not profitable right now.
I'm not profitable right now. I'm paying myself. I get that. And I would like to get into the practical numbers, write those down. I have those, and I have what we do, so you can tell me if we're doing it right or wrong. But he's thinking, hey, I pay myself, obviously, take care of my family first, pay my bills, and then there's no profit left over. You kind of flipped that on its head. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. So, and I hear that feedback constantly. And actually, I felt the same thing too. If I'm not profitable currently, how the hell can I take my profit first when there's not money there in the first place?
Yeah.
But here's the realization. It ties into Parkinson's law. Now, this is a behavioral theory, but it's absolutely critical everyone understands this. Because when you understand this, you'll understand how you work with any resource, not just money, but any resource. So quick history lesson, this guy named Northcote Parkinson, I think he was from Ireland, in the 1950s, purports this new principle. And what he says is, as the supply of a resource expands, the more available something is, the more we consume it. His study predominantly was around time, and how that works is, if you and I, Britt, were in negotiations and you're gonna give me a proposal for something, and you say, Mike, I'll get to you in 1 week, it'll likely take you a week to get done. But if the same guys have the same conversation about the same thing, and you say, I'll get you the proposal in 1 day, you'll likely get to me in a day. Yeah. So as more time is available, we consume or use more time to complete a task. As less time's available, we use it more efficiently. But this is true more than just time, it's any resource. Food, the more food, like listen, I love chocolate chip cookies. You put one chocolate chip cookie in front of me, I'll eat one. You put 15 in front of me, I'll eat more than one, right? More supply, more consumption.
Yeah.
With money, it works this way too. As we have more, but it doesn't matter, but as much money is presented in front of us is our natural Parkinson's law tendency as the supply is available to consume it all. Justification kicks in. But as there's less available, which is very obvious, we have to come frugal because there's less, but we also become innovative. We think of new ways to get things done.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If you're not profitable now, it's because of Parkinson's law. All the money your business can get is going to the business.
Yeah.
We are going to take all that same amount of money, the exact same amount, but we're going to put constraints around it, forced scarcity, to your point, which then invokes Parkinson's law. And our behavior at a subconscious level will automatically and immediately adjust.
Yeah.
A customer will never say that.
Yeah.
But a customer will never say this either. Here's my money. I hope you got a business tomorrow because you can't sustain.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah.
They're dependent upon us to provide a service. So they want us to be financially healthy. They'll never say those words, but they truly want that because they want our availability, our best service. So customers do want us to be profitable.
Okay.
So that's lesson number one. Lesson two, though, is as you implement this system, if you go in full throttle, Britt, like you did, it can be a bumpy road for some people. And it can be so brutal of a shift from never being profitable to now allocating 10% that some people say, this ain't working, and they give up, which is a great mistake. My suggestion for most businesses is starting really slow. Okay. If you've never been profitable before, starting today, and you should start immediately, set up a profit account and allocate 1% of that income to it. Because it's such a small amount at 1%, it's negligible.
Yeah.
Like if you make 100 grand this year, I'm saying you're taking 1% of that. You're taking $1,000. Because if you can run your business off 100 grand, you can run your business off 99 grand.
Yeah.
$1,000 is negligible, but you have a $1,000 profit bonus at the end of the year, which is significant.
Yeah.
So we start slow. Stick that out for 3-4 months and see how it's going. Then you introduce the next percent. Maybe you move profit to 2. Now maybe you open that owner's account, add to what you've done historically, plus a little bit. So slowly step into it. We have over 100,000 companies now are doing profit first.
Wow.
We have, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 case studies. And here's what we found. Businesses that slowly step into it will take them about 1.5 to 2 years to get to the numbers like you're doing. But when they get there, they'll stick with it. Businesses that jump right into it, the failure rate, sadly, is very high. It's upwards of 80%,
where
it's too abrupt of a change and they give up.
Yeah.
So
now, is that building the human behavior? Now, is that building human behavior? Is it building the habit? Speak to that a little bit. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, what we're going to go through in this transition is we have to lose old expectations. And so the old expectation was, you know, if I made a big sale today, I can get the thing I want tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so there was this kind of hand-to-mouth kind of living style.
Yeah.
This system will start pulling you out of that. It'll start changing your mindset. You'll have to do the one day at a time rule, for example, where it's like, you know what? Let's push off that purchase yet another day until we have to do it or we find a better alternative. Yeah. So we have to lose that old habit of hand to mouth. And when we make this change to Profit First, I suspect many people are going to have skepticism. I didn't believe it would work. I didn't do it because I wanted to do it. I did because I was desperate to get out of my financial situation. So when we're desperate and we don't believe in something, often the second we have proof it's not working, we'll say, there's the proof.
Yeah.
Forget it. It's over. One of the things we need to do is reward you. And that's what this profit account is. Every quarter, every 90 days, you take a percentage of the money out, pay yourself as a reward. It's a bonus, a cash bonus. The next account is called owner's compensation. This is your salary. It's different than profit. Profit is a reward that comes out on a quarterly basis. Owner's compensation, this is what you live off of. This is your actual real salary. Mm-hmm. And the realization, I think, Britt, that we all need to have is that as an owner of the business and working in the business, you are likely the best employee your company will ever have.
Like
you have extreme loyalty,
I like to
right?
think that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you work your tail off.
Yeah.
You're the best salesperson for your business.
Yeah.
You'll sacrifice time with your family. You know, you won't go on vacation. Maybe you'll never take a vacation, or you'll do workcations where you're really working.
Yeah.
And you'll do this stuff at times, or maybe for a long time, at no or little pay.
Yeah.
That's the definition of the world's greatest employee.
Yeah.
And your company has scored you.
Yeah.
So you are the best employee. I know this, if we don't pay you, at a certain point, resentment will kick in.
Yeah.
I freaking hate my business. It keeps taking away from me. So this account is to pay you your salary. And ultimately, we're going to make sure that number is paying you the best.
Speak to not raising your lifestyle, because that's...
Oh, my goodness. You tapped into it there. I don't even know what you call it. I'm a personal finance guru, but I see so often people get caught in that middle class trap where you start making good money and all of a sudden you think you need a bigger house, a better car, you know, your mortgage goes up, your car goes up, and you just never get far ahead. So kudos to you for, it takes a lot of self-discipline. It's not easy. When you see your bank account going up faster than it usually does, and you see you have a steady position, it's easy to spend that money.
Yeah.
But you don't realize you're robbing from your future. Like all of the possibilities you can have by increasing your income and keeping your expenses even just flat, you know, or just a reasonable increase every year, you're just going to save so much so that you can invest in better opportunities in the future. You know, you never know what's going to open up. It's nice to have that extra cash.
100%.
Taking you to financial freedom or whatever you want to do.
Oh yeah, yeah. I completely agree with that, and I always stress like margin with our guys and in my personal life, because I always picture margin is like the space for opportunity that you can't really see yet. And if you keep robbing, like you said, if you keep robbing your business of those funds, you can't create margin, and thus you can't take advantage of those opportunities that you can't yet see. So. On the company. So I would just get as creative as possible. I understand there's situations where you feel like you need to go into debt to do a big job, but that's where oftentimes we partner with subcontractors. If we can't do it debt-free, we'll partner with a bigger company, bring in some of their equipment, and our margins cut in half, or our margins cut down to whatever, but at least you're not putting, because we're such small business, you have to think about, you're also putting your family on the line every time you do something like that. So
you
it feels like it's separate from your family, but it's really not. Until you get to a certain top line revenue mark, you have to also think about your family, and that's debt that your family is carrying to make more money. And personally, I'm just not willing to do it. I prefer slow and steady, be patient, grow the company at a steady pace, make sure that you kind of can, I guess, I don't know, control the growth, but control as much as you can, if that makes sense.
What would you think on, say,
having an investor on going in on it though.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't get an investor. I would keep the equity in your company. As you start to get investors and the more people you get involved, the less control you have of your life. So I would keep all that aside. One thing that we do, kind of a little trick, is we have a lot of clients that are loyal to us, and so they prepay for our maintenance services. So if we get in a loan situation, we will treat ourselves like the bank. So we'll get prepayments. We'll send out a prepay newsletter January 7th. We'll get prepayments rolling in from January 7th to March 1st is our cutoff date, and we'll give a 10% discount. We will allocate those funds towards new growth. So if we need a huge piece of equipment next year, for example, we need 3 new trucks. We're hiring a whole lot of people. We need 4 new spray tanks. We need a Z spray rider. That all costs a lot of money, and we don't have all that saved up. So if we get in a situation where we feel like we need to take out a loan, we will dip into that prepayment fund, but treat it like a loan from the bank. So we will pay that money back over a certain period of time. I like to keep it short because the longer you take to pay it back, the less likely that money will get in there. So I would try to get a return on investment from what you're doing in less than 6 months. That way, in that lawn care season and during that peak rush, you're replenishing it. And then you're in a situation where you never really need the bank. But with that, you have to have loyal clients. You have to be providing a recurring service that people feel like, hey, if I prepay, this makes sense. It's out of my hair. But for you, that helps twofold. It helps with cash flow. Mm-hmm. Often it also helps, well, I guess threefold. It also helps less people cancel when they prepay. And then thirdly, you can do that situation like I just talked about, where you can actually loan yourself money. And the good thing about that is you're not paying interest. So,
exactly. And
each other. We had an association director, one of the state associations, put it a good way, where he said that he could, two landscapers could be bidding for the same job. One day, one wins it, one doesn't, and then a week later, they're probably sitting down at a table with some organization trying to figure out how to make their industry better. So
that's awesome.
I think that's something that's refreshing about this industry, and I hope it is.
With what you've seen of people who are successful, he wants to know what separates the winners from the losers in this industry. And he's got just a local mowing company with one other guy.
Right. I would say professionalism and price, the two P's. The more you present yourself as a professional business person, the farther you're going to go. So if he might have one other guy you said he's working with. You know, get uniforms. Just, yeah. You know, buy some polo shirts or whatever you need for each season. Get a nice truck, a nice decal on your truck. Make sure your employees aren't smoking on a job. Even if they're, you know, hiding behind a truck, that's always something. I see myself as a homeowner. I'll see a company with a guy standing out there smoking a cigarette. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that in an office or anything. Yeah. So just, you know, having that, not appeal, but that appearance that, you mean business. Like you're doing this to make money. You're not just a guy who cuts grass. Yep. You are a business person who just provides services of cutting grass. And that goes for internally too. Keep your shop clean. If you have an office, keep that clean, because your employees see that, and that sets the example for them.
Yeah.
Now I say that as I'm sitting at a desk with papers everywhere, but, you can make sure your mechanic shop, if you have one of those, make sure it's clean.
Yeah.
Make sure everything is tidy. Decorate your office like it's a professional setting. Yeah. And I think that goes a long way for the workers who go out in the field. Yeah. They'll take that with them and set the example for you.
No, that's good. That's good. I couldn't agree more. And I think the professionalism overall is, as the industry moves forward, that's going to allow for better margins for mowing. I know a lot of guys that enter, you said professionalism and price. They immediately want to compete on price, and it's kind of a race to the bottom. Where if they would start with professionalism, I think, you know, net score overall is going to be a lot better for them.
Yeah, and you get what you pay for. I mean, if the customer is going to go for the lowest bid, they're probably going to get the lowest bid work. One thing we find is that I know
a lot of contractors are afraid to raise prices. It's they don't want to raise, especially for current customers and even for new ones. But every time we do a story on it, we'll talk to contractors who raise prices, and they say, you know, we didn't get too much pushback. They realize we're in this to make a buck too. And the ones that did drop their services, you probably didn't want them as customers anyways. So, you know, you're providing an A-plus service, you should provide A-plus prices, and the contractors who do that are going to come out ahead.
Correct. Whenever you have a dream or a vision, if you sit there and analyze it to death, you're going to run in circles. And while you're running in circles, I'm going to beat you into the ground. So I want you to think about that. Everybody's scared to take the leap into business ownership or take the leap from their current job into lawn care. I understand that. The money has to be there. But I also understand that action trumps everything. I talked a lot about margin in my previous Instagram post. Margin to hire, action provides the margin needed to take those next steps. Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that. A lot of good advice, and just really appreciative of as I look back at all the people who have been on the show, helped us out, and in turn helped you guys out. So let's get ready. We got the spring rush right around the corner. You guys are getting geared up, servicing equipment, trying to hire new people, getting projections ready, goals set right after the new year. So let's make it a good one. Hit us up as usual on Instagram or Twitter. Instagram is at Lawn Care Leaders. Twitter, you can find me personally at bdowd32. But let's make it a good year, guys, and wish you all the best. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you soon.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.